extremely important that every person should realize to make my first year, it is first. It is important at first, and every person should realize that my first year is first. As Hazrat Hakimul Ummah Hazrat Ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullah Ali has mentioned so beautifully, that nek banna faraz hai, apne aap ko nek samajhna haram. To become pious, this is most important. And pious means to become the true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be obeying the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to the sunnah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is what we have come to learn here. And now we have a very, very important talk taking place by Hazrat Mufti Siraj Desai Sahib, Madras Dillul Ali. Hazrat is running a Darulun in PE, quite well known. Hazrat has spent many Hazrat has spent a lot of time in the company of great ulama and great luminaries, like Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, Hazrat Haji Farooq Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. So Hazrat will enlighten us more with regard to the importance of tazkiyah and how important it is. So we should listen attentively and make a niyat that inshallah Allah give us tawfiq to put it into practice.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. الأخلاء يومئذ بعضهم لبعض عدو إلا المتقين. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: المرء على دينه فالعلى مرء على دين أخيه المرء على دين خليله فلينظر بمن يخالل، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين. Honorable ulama, respected elders, brothers, our young friends in Islam, I am grateful to Allah Azza wa Jal that Allah gave myself and all of us sitting here the opportunity to share and discuss some words of advice, hopefully inshallah that will benefit myself firstly and the brothers that are present here. And when I came here, I thought to myself that what do we speak about, what should I share with the listeners, something that is obviously compatible with the theme of this particular blessed Jalsa and this Ijtima, which is Tazkiyah and Islahun Nafs. So I was thinking of a few things, and then when I came by plane this morning, I was reading a discourse of Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Rahmatullah Alayh, which he delivered about 27 years ago in Pakistan. So I liked it very much, so I thought I'll share some of the ideas which Hazrat mentioned there with the brothers here. And you know, it is so unique. The words of the Awliya Allah, like I said, that Hazrat mentioned this particular majlis or this discourse about 27 years ago. But in spite of the passing of time and the lapse of such a huge gap, so many years, the effect of those words are equally strong today as it was at that time when Hazrat delivered that particular speech and that majlis. So this is the characteristic of the kalam of the awliya Allah. When they speak, their words don't lose effect no matter how many years, how many decades will pass. So we hope inshallah that we also can benefit from these particular sayings of Hazrat which I read this morning. As I said, inshallah we'll share it with you. And Hazrat was speaking on the issue of nisbat. What is nisbat? Nisbat means a relationship, or you can call it a link, a connection, a bond. For example, we are sitting here in this masjid today. Those of you that have attended, you have come from different parts of the country, locally from Durban, Johannesburg. A lot of people here from Port Elizabeth, mashallah. All of us have come here on the basis of a nisbat. We haven't come here for any other purpose. There is no worldly purpose. We have come here, we are sitting here for that nisbat which we have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is very important. And Hazrat emphasizes that it is essential that a person recognizes and understands your nisbat. And so many things in life are trivial to us. But the moment you give it a connection to something big, something sacred, something of value, suddenly that thing also becomes valuable. It adds value, the nisbat adds value to that particular item. Like we know that the Baytullah, the Kaaba Sharif is an ordinary building. There are hundreds of other much more beautiful buildings. But because it has got a certain nisbat with Allah, with Ibrahim alayhi salam, with the awliya Allah, with the anbiya, suddenly that sacred house becomes the object and the target of every single Muslim's heart and love and yearning. So likewise, so many things in this world, when you link it up to something important, one of the famous people in India was Sir Sayyid Ahmad Khan, the founder of the Aligarh University. And obviously there were certain issues that the ulama differed with him, but he had good akhlaq. He had some good qualities in him. So Hazrat gives the incident of one day. It was the afternoon. He was relaxing in his house. It was hot. So they were relaxing in the coolness of the home. And from inside of the house, they could see outside there was a beggar that was coming. And the beggar stopped outside and he changed his clothing. He put on a different garment. So Sir Sayyid Ahmad Khan was lying down. He had a visitor with him. So he told his visitor, "You see that man there? He's going to come and beg something from me now. He's going to ask me for something. But I promise you, I'll not give him a cent. Because I know this man, it's his habit. He always comes here." So they lay down for a while, and there the man comes. True enough, he knocks on the door. So Sayyid Ahmad Khan Sahib told his khadim, his servant, that don't open the door. Just leave him, he'll go away. But this man was persistent, and I'm sure we know the beggars, they don't give up easily. So he knocked and knocked until eventually they had to open the door. So when they opened, he came inside and he said that, "I ask you in the name of Allah for something." So Sayyid Ahmad Khan told him that, "There's nothing, I'm sorry, I can't give you anything. Just get out of here." So the beggar saw now that things won't work for him here. So what he did, he says, "Do you know who am I? I am that person who met Hazrat so and so and so." He took some Buzruk's name. "I met this particular Buzruk." Now the moment he mentioned this Buzruk's name, Sir Sayyid Ahmad stood up, he jumped up, and he grabbed that person's hands, he kissed his hands, he hugged him, and he said, "Just wait a moment," and he went, he opened his box where they kept the money, and he gave him a good sum of money. And he took his money, he went on his way. That was his maqsad, his purpose, to get the money. So now after he left, the visitor said that, "Hazrat, how come you suddenly changed? You told me you won't give the man a cent. Now suddenly you gave him a large sum of money." So Sayyid Ahmad Khan says that, "You know, you didn't hear the name that man took. The Buzruk's name that he took, that was my sheikh. And the moment he took the name of my sheikh, I wouldn't have any skin over my face to think that a man comes in front of me, takes the name of my sheikh, and I turn him back empty-handed." And he says, "Wallah, if that man had to ask this whole box of money, I would have given it to him. Just for the nisbat of my sheikh." Now, this is a very important thing, that we have so many good relationships in life. A person, a son, has got a good father. He's got a noble father. That son should realize that I must not do anything that will bring my father's name into disrepute, that will tarnish the image and the name of my father. Now that nisbat alone, if that son is sincere, inshallah, through that nisbat, he can save himself from a lot of wrong. Likewise, the murid and the sheikh, and this is something very pertinent to our gathering here, that if I've got a sheikh who is obviously a senior person, a well-known person, a wali of Allah, I mustn't do anything because I've got a nisbat with that sheikh. So I can't do anything that will bring his name into disrepute. And people will say, look at here, the murids of the sheikh, look how is he behaving, look how he acts. So in like manner, the ustad and the shagird, the student, you got an ustad, your teacher, your tutors are learned people, you come from a reputable institute where you studied. So you don't do anything that will bring down the name of that institute. Now, just through this nisbat, just contemplating and thinking about that nisbat, the connection you have with that particular person, that great institute, that alone can keep you in check. It will make sure that you don't go out of line because you tell yourself that I'm worried about the people above me. So, we have come here for that nisbat, which is the connection we have for the sake of Allah. It comes in the Hadith Sharif that on Qiyamah Day, a special group of people will be sitting under the shade of Allah's arsh. And that will be the day when there is no shade. لا ظل إلا ظل عرشه. It will only be the shade of the arsh of Allah Azza wa Jal. But there will be certain people, they will be sitting there, they will be enjoying the luxuries of Allah. The malaika will be serving them, they will be eating and drinking and making merry, while the rest of Allah's makhluk will be caught up in this grip of difficulty and hardship, the hisab and the reckoning. So people will see these, other people will see them, even the malaika will envy these people. Who are they? Are they anbiya? Are they shaheeds? Are they special wali awliya of Allah? So the malaika will answer that these are not shaheeds, they are not anbiya. They are only those people who came together min qabaili shatta wa min biladin shatta, from different towns, different lands, from different tribes and families. And there was one thing that united them, and that was the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the nisbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you can imagine how great this is. I remember our Hazrat Haji Muhammad Farooq Sahib rahmatullahi used to always say, just to remind us when we come into the majlis, he used to always say that we will only see the benefits of this, these types of majalis and these gatherings on the day of Qiyamah. When your eyes close and you meet Allah, then you will realize the value of sitting in the company of pious people or sitting alongside pious people and listening and discussing matters of deen. So, Hazrat goes on to explain that when you attend a majlis, a gathering of this nature where you come to hear something about deen, the very first thing is you must realize, he says that only through listening to something, you can't achieve much in life. You say that I will listen to beautiful talks, you can listen to the most beautiful lectures and advice. But he says, just listening is not enough until you bring that what you heard into amal. You must practice on it. Yes, obviously you need to listen. So you will first hear, listen, absorb what was said, let it sink in, think about it, contemplate, and now the time will come that you need to make amal, you need to practice on what you heard. So Hazrat explains that, okay, now you're sitting in a majlis, you're listening to the speaker. What you must realize is that this deen, just the same Hadith Sharif that Hazrat Mullah Abdul Hamid have mentioned earlier on, that inna hadha deena ilmun fandur amman ta'khuduna deenakum. This inna hadha ilma deenun, this knowledge is deen. This knowledge, Imam Muslim rahimahullah mentioned this from Allama Ibn Sirin at the start of his kitab. He says that this knowledge, what you are acquiring is deen. So be careful and be watchful from whom you take this deen. So when you have a speaker, you need to look at two things. And as an example, the story was quoted. Hazrat gives the story. It comes in Surah Yasin. The ulama will know the story very well. The second ruku of Surah Yasin, Allah explains of these messengers that were sent to the city of Antakya, which is Antioch in Syria, which is obviously part of a great upheaval today. Allah Ta'ala help the Muslims there. Allah bring about some protection and protect the lives and the honor of our Muslim brothers and sisters there. But anyhow, these people went to make tabligh, to give the da'wah of Islam, to invite people to the oneness of Allah. So Allah Ta'ala sent first, there were two of these messengers that came, and they gave the people the da'wah, but they were rejected. Their word was not accepted. Then a third one was sent as a reinforcement. So the reinforcement didn't have to be a lot of people. Just another, one more person came to make it three, to reinforce what the others were saying. And then at the end of that, Allah says, وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقَصَ الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلٌ يَسْعَى. A man came from a distant part of the city, running and giving a message to the people. This man was Habib al-Najjar, a very pious person who accepted the deen of Nabi Musa alayhi salam. When he knew that these messengers are in our town giving this da'wah, so he realized that I need to at least inform people that they must not reject these men. So he came and he said to them that اتبعوا قال يا قوم اتبعوا المرسلين. He said, oh my people, اتبعوا المرسلين, you must follow these messengers. Follow them, listen to what they are saying, give them a hearing and accept the message. Then he says, اتبعوا من لا يسألكم أجرا وهم مهتدون. You must follow people, these are people who don't ask from you any payment. The message they're giving, the word they're giving is free. All they want from you is to listen and to make amal on what they're saying. They don't ask from you, nor do they expect any payment. So Hazrat explains that from this we realize that when a person is giving you nasiha of deen, is giving you deen advice, the very first thing is that person must not have any worldly motive. He must not have a worldly motive. It can be name, it can be fame, it can be monetary gain, it can be some position, it can be any other worldly purpose that the person got in mind. That will now, it will tarnish the sincerity and the ikhlas of that person. And remember, when you listen to dini advice, or when you give someone advice, there must be ikhlas. A person can be how good a speaker and how good an orator, but if he has got no ikhlas, it doesn't have effect upon the listeners. Yes, it will affect the ears, but it will not penetrate the heart. You get some people, they are very good speakers, but for that moment they may be motivational speakers, and they very bombastic speakers. For that moment you're sitting there, you become emotional, you become very, very fired up. But the moment you leave the door of the masjid, everything just subsides. It's back to normal again. Whereas you find the speaker who speaks from ikhlas, who speaks with ikhlas. I remember here in Cape Town, many years ago when Hazrat Haji Farooq Sahib Rahmatullahi came, I think it was just the first time that he came here and he gave, the second trip to Cape Town and he spoke. One of the senior ulama here, he made a statement, and I know that that man spoke from ikhlas, and he says, you know, this man, you can just see, he speaks from the heart. He's not speaking from the tongue or the throat. He speaks from the heart, because when you sit in his gathering, you can just hear the effect, you can just feel the effect it has upon your heart, upon your ruhaniyat, upon your ruh. So, that comes when the speaker has got no worldly motive. So the first thing is, اتبعوا من لا يسألكم أجرا. That the speaker, when he's giving you this advice, he's giving this da'wah, he's got no monetary gain in mind, he's got no worldly motive. The second is, وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ, and they are guided. They are guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that means now, the second thing that you must expect in a person giving advice is that person must have proper hidayat. And that hidayat comes from Allah. He must get proper hidayat, and for this reason, you find that the ulama say, how do you select? And I want people to take note of this very carefully, because it's going to help you, inshallah. How do you select a spiritual guide? You want to make someone your sheikh, you want to take bay'ah to someone, how do you select that person? Who do you look for? And just now, Mawlana Abdul Hamid Sahib, Dhamma Barakatuh, mentioned a very important point. He said that don't think that you don't get pious people in today's time. Don't think you don't get the Buzrugan Deen. You still get them. You still get them. Yes, we cannot compare today's people to the former times, to the awliya Allah of the former times, but you do get them. So how do you select? So one of the selection criteria is that you look at that person from above. Who has certified that person's position? He is a sheikh, he is a peer, he is a spiritual mentor, a guide. But who has put him in that position? From who has he got certification? Where did he get his accreditation from? So if he comes from above, he's got a sheikh who gave him that khilafat, who gave him that permission, and that sheikh had a sheikh, and this whole transmission goes right up to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then you can safely say, well, this is a man that I can identify with, a man I can relate to, a person whom I can use for my spiritual guidance. So that is a very beautiful and a foolproof method of identifying and selecting a sheikh. So likewise, any alim that is going to give you advice on deen, it must be a person that has been accredited from above. It's no use you have a person whom the public has put that person on a pedestal, but that person has got no accreditation from above. He's got no qualifications from above. There's no senior people. The senior ulama in your country, in your city, in your town, don't recognize that person as a man of position. Then obviously that is not a man who is able to guide people. Yes, he will speak good things and he will speak wonderful ideas and some beautiful statements he'll make. But we are looking for such nasihat that will penetrate the heart. It must strike right into the inner recesses of our heart. And that will come when you have these two qualities. And I'm saying these are the words of Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah Rahmatullah Alayhi. The one is this, that a person, his motive is not worldly. And secondly, he's guided, he's got proper hidayat, he's got proper ilm, and he has been accredited and certified by senior people above him. Once you have a speaker like this, or a guide like this, then you must remember, that is the ideal person with whom you can identify, from whom you can take your hidayat and your guidance. So now he says that you have the proper speaker, you're sitting, you listen to the majlis, now you need to practice on that. You need to make amal. And that amal can only come when you are in the company, when you associate with people. Sometimes it's so difficult for a person to do a certain amal or to leave a certain sin. But I guarantee you, and so many people have found this, it works. You know, it works every time. It works, and it works right every time, that when you are afflicted with a certain spiritual malady, and you keep company with pious people for an extended time, inshallah, you find that eventually you become so overwhelmed and affected by the spirituality of these people that you start detesting that sin. Not only will you leave that sin, you will develop such a nafrat, such a hatred for that sin. Afterwards, you tell yourself that you speak to yourself that how can you be so foolish to commit a sin like this in your life? So this is the benefit. This is the way that we can develop the ability to make amal on what we hear. So it's not only just listening to talks. Now that brings us to a very important thing, that whenever we come to a majlis, the intention that we have is very important. You make a niyat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, we always quote this hadith, لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا. He says, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. Your a'mal will be rewarded. This means the good a'mal, a'mal that are sanctioned by Sharia. Any amal you do, it is rewarded according to your intention. In fact, any amal, as long as it is not a haram amal, as long as it is lawful, you do that amal with a good niyat, with a good intention, you will be rewarded. Even if it is a worldly amal. Like Hazrat gives the example of a person who builds a house and he puts windows in the house, if he just makes a niyat that, Ya Allah, this windows, when the adhan goes, I will hear the adhan through these windows. That intention alone makes his whole project and building a means of reward and thawab. So there are so many, in fact, the opportunities to earn reward through your niyat are limitless, countless. Everything you do, you eat food, you make your niyat, Ya Allah, I'm eating this food to give me strength to make ibadat. You drink something, you drink water, Ya Allah, I'm drinking this water, I'm thirsty, so I'm going to drink it, just so that I can make your shukr, Ya Allah. Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, a famous sahabi, he used to go to the marketplace. And people used to see him coming into the marketplace, he just walks through, and he goes back again. So people noticed this, so someone asked him that, Ya Ibn Umar, why do you do this? What is your purpose? You don't come, you don't buy anything, you're not selling anything, you're not even looking at the stuff that are sold, you're not even asking about prices. You know, nowadays people like us, we go there for window shopping. We don't have money in our pockets, but we want to see what the prices of things are, and we, our mouths start watering that I want to buy this. One day when I got money, I want to buy this particular car and that vehicle. So he used to go there, just walk and come back. So he explains that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us a dua. A dua to be read when you go into the marketplace. There are two duas. The one that he reads, that he spoke of, is the fourth kalima, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu, lahu al-mulku wa lahu al-hamdu yuhyi wa yumiitu biyadihi al-khair. So he says that a person, when you enter the marketplace, you should read this dua. So he says, I come to the marketplace just for this maqsad, for this purpose. I want to recite this dua and make amal on the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, outwardly, externally, it seems this man is wasting his time, because the worst place on earth, the best place is the masjid, the worst place is the marketplace. You're going to the worst place on earth. What are you going to do there? So his intention, that was outwardly something worldly. But look at the great and immense reward it brought him. That going there just to make amal on this particular sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, your intention is important. I was saying that any amal you do, and let us revive this sunnah, innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat, that if you think carefully, in one amal, you can make multiple intentions. Imam Ghazali rahimahullah mentioned, I think, about 7 different types of niyat, different intentions you can make when you come to the masjid. You leave your house, and you come into the house of Allah for salah. For example, he says, you make your niyat, Ya Allah, I'm going to establish the faraid of Islam. Aqimu salah. Allah says, establish salah. So I'm making amal on this. I didn't know you said it. Astaghfirullah. He says that aqimu salah, establish salah. So my niyat is, I'm going to establish the faraid of salah. Another niyat you make, that while I'm walking in the street, Ya Allah, I'm making amr bil ma'roof. And how is that? What's going to happen is, there might be people in that street that don't come to the masjid. And we know, I can show you a lot of localities where there are people living right next to the masjid, but they don't come to the house of Allah. So, when I walk to the masjid, people will see me. And they will obviously think to themselves, yeah, this man is going to the house of Allah, he's going to make salah. That will be a reminder to them. So practically, I'm doing amr bil ma'roof, nahi anil munkar. When I enter the masjid, I make a niyat, Ya Allah, I'm going to make i'tikaf. Another niyat, Ya Allah, I'm going to brush shoulders with the pious people in the masjid, so their piety will wear off onto me, it will affect me. Ya Allah, I'm going to the house of Allah to break away from the dunya and make some fikr for the akhirat. So these are 4 or 5 intentions just in that one amal for coming to the house of Allah and offering your salah, which is a normal routine thing which you have to do every day. So in this manner, dear brothers, we can make several niyats for one particular amal. And for every amal, for every niyat, you get a separate thawab. So Hazrat explains, when you come to a majlis, what should be the intention that you come for? When I attend a bayan, a majlis, there is some nasihat given, there is ta'aleem. What is my niyat? Some people will come. Now, Hazrat Rahmatullahi goes through the different scenarios. Like a person might come He feels that if I sit here, I'm going to get sawab. It's a holy gathering. So definitely that is a place where you will earn sawab. That is a good niyat. Some will come and say, look, I've got nothing to do at home. I'm a bit bored. Let me come and sit and I will listen to what is being said here, just out of curiosity. Others will come and say, look, I want to learn. So I'm going to listen to the lecturer and the speaker and increase my knowledge. So that is obviously good. That's a good niyat. Some people go to, now we have this ijtima, like we have the tablighi ijtimas. Some people just go there, they want to see the brotherhood of Islam, which is also great. But that's not the main maqsad. Some will go to the ijtima, they want to see how many jamaats go out. They want to see how many jamaats go out. But that also is not your maqsad, although it's a great thing. How nice it feels when you see lots of jamaats going out. Okay, I don't know about this ijtima, I don't think there's any jamaats that will go out. Although it would be nice if inshallah if Maulana and Hazrat can make some jamaats and send them to, shut them out to Karachi for the Khanka program, that to spend some time in the Khanka, we all need that. But khair. But your maqsad is one thing, Hazrat says. You don't want to see the brotherhood, you don't want to see the unity, that is great. And you will see it. All these other things are by the way. All these other things are just secondary. Your main maqsad in attending any particular dini program is the islah of your nafs. I am going there to sit and listen to something which I can use, something that can be the means of my own islah. I can use to purify, rehabilitate my spiritual life. I will listen to the talk. Whatever is being said, I will compare my life to the thoughts, the advice that was given, and I will apply it to my spiritual life. And in this way, I can enhance my spirituality, my ruhaniyat in front of Allah Azza wa Jal. That is your main object of sitting and attending a bayan. The other things will come by the way. You will get thawab. You will get the effect of the pious people sitting there. You will see the brotherhood. You will see, you will meet people. You will unite with people. You will share that love and that unity, that affinity among Muslims. All those things will come. But the main objective will be that I want to make my tazkiyah, my israh, purify myself. This should be our need and our intention, inshaAllah. Now that we said this, what is this tazkiyah all about? And again, we'll refer you to one of the statements of Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayh. He explains this tazkiyah. The word tazkiyah, and I'm sure Hazrat Mulana would have explained this also in the past, that the tazkiyah is simply a means, a system or a process of purification. Tazkiyah to nafs means purifying the nafs. This is mentioned in the Quran, not one place, several places. And when you look at the inception of Islam, or let's go back in our history when the Holy Kaaba was built, the Kaaba Sharif. Then Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam, after building the Kaaba, they made a dua. They made several duas. One of the duas they made was this, that Rabbana wada'at fihim rasulam minhum. They made a dua, oh our Rabb. At that time when he made the dua, there was not a single soul living in that area. The Arabs that populated Mecca, they only came afterwards. When Nabi Ismail alayhi salam grew up and he married, the tribes came and settled there. But when the Kaaba Sharif was built, there were no people living around. But look at the vision of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. That was unique. Now the Anbiya alayhi salam, when they make dua, all those duas, in most cases, the duas of the Anbiya are directed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are inspired by Allah with these duas. And that is why I say it was a vision that Ibrahim alayhi salam had when he built the Kaaba, and he said that, oh Allah, oh our Rabb, wada'at fihim rasulam minhum. That you must send among the people who will populate this Kaaba, people who will come here for the pilgrimage, for the Hajj, send among them a rasul, yatlu alayhim ayatika. He will read your ayat to them. He will recite your verses. In other words, the verses of the Quran. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. And he will teach them the book, and he will teach them hikmah. And the first thing he will do is وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. And he will make their tazkiyah. Now you can imagine that at that time already, the vision of Ibrahim alayhi salam was this, that the Rasul that will come here, he must perform four functions, four things, four duties. The one is, he will read the Quran to them. He will recite the Quran to them. Number two, he will give them ta'aleem of the kitab. So, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and he read the ayat, he read the verses to the sahaba. And after that, he explained them those verses. So, he gave them ta'aleem of the kitab. Wal hikmah, hikmah here refers to the sunnah or the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I always like to make a distinction between sunnah and hadith. Hadith means a statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or something was done in his presence and he condoned it, he approved of it, or an action of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when you speak of sunnah, it is the broader picture of the life of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wa sallam as conveyed to us by the sahaba kiram. So, you can't practice on a hadith. You can't practice on a hadith in isolation of the sunnah. So you might take one hadith and you'll say, okay, I'll make amal on this hadith. But when you look at the bigger picture, the sunnah, which the sahaba understood, then you will suddenly discover that if I make amal on this hadith, I'm going against several other ahadith. That is why we say, to understand the hadith and to understand the sunnah, you need the guidance of the fuqaha. You need the guidance of the ulama of former times, and these were the great imams, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahimahumullah. They understood the sunnah, they applied the sunnah in different ways. They would explain and expound the meanings of the ahadith, and all the ahadith collectively were brought together, and they formulated the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now this reason we say that a person who follows any one of these imams, he can rest assured that he is following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anyhow, that's by the way. So, Ibrahim alayhi salam made this dua that the anbiya, that the prophet, the nabi that you will send, Ya Allah, the rasul you will send, he will do four things for his ummah. Now look what Allah ta'ala did. This was the dua of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now you look in the Quran al-Kareem in three other places, Allah describes the same four functions, but Allah changes the order. Allah switches around the sequence of these functions. Therefore, I just want to mention one thing here, that when we make a dua, remember you will ask Allah for one thing, for one, two, three, five things. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala will not necessarily give you the five things that you ask in the same order. You might think that, Ya Allah, I need this first. Now after I get this, then I need that, then I need this. Allah might give you the third thing first. Or He might give you the last thing you ask second. Or He might give you the first thing that you ask for last. Allah will change that order. Allah will answer your dua in ways that He feels fit. So don't always think that if I make dua for something, then definitely my dua will be answered as I ask it from Allah. Allah Ta'ala knows what is best for us. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, his vision, his knowledge that he had, and his idea of the ummah, the perfect ummah, it led him to make this dua that Allah must send a Nabi, a Rasul, that will read the ayat, that will give ta'aleem of the kitab, ta'aleem of the sunnah, and the tazkiyah of the nafs, purification of the nafs. Along came Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Ta'ala revealed this ayat, هُوَ الَّذِي بَعَثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. What does Allah do? He changed the sequence. What does it mean? Allah says that هُوَ الَّذِي بَعَثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ, He sent among the ummi ummat. Ummiyin means the unlettered ummat, people that could not read or write. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to pride himself that nahnu ummatun ummiyuna la naktubu wa la nahsib. We are an unlettered ummat. We can't read or write. We can't count. So that was actually a fakhr. It was an honor. So he sent his rasul in that ummat, that unlettered ummat. What did the rasul do? Yatlu alayhim ayatihi. The first thing was he would read, make tilawat of the ayats of the Quran al-Kareem. But the tazkiyah came second. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam made the dua for the tazkiyah to come last. Allah says, no, this tazkiyah must come after the ayat of the Quran al-Kareem. And then came ta'aleem of kitab and ta'aleem of hikmah. Now that is a unique sequence that Allah Ta'ala has brought about. We might not understand it, but I will give you something. Go back into our history. It will make perfect sense why Allah brought the sequence like this. First, the tilawat of the Qur'an al-Kareem, and then the tazkiyah. If you go back into our history, when Islam started, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the first revelation, and over the years that they stayed in Makkah, the ayat were revealed, surahs were revealed, and all these ayats were recited to the Sahaba. But we know it is a documented fact in our history that in Makkah Sharif, there was no a'mal, there were no ahkam, there were no rules and regulations, there was no ta'aleem of any, there was no tafsir or ta'aleem of laws and rules and regulations. The salah came towards the end, just before the hijrat, but all the ahkam, the bulk of the rules and regulations of Islam came after the hijrat. So what does it mean? That in Makkah already, for those 13 years, the tazkiyah, the process of tazkiyah was begun. That was the sequence that Allah Ta'ala gave to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that was the sequence that he followed. That he would read the ayat of the Qur'an al-Kareem, and then simultaneously, or immediately after that, he brought about the tazkiyah to nafs of the Sahaba. He started the process of tazkiyah whilst they were still living in Makkah. And how did this go about? How did this happen? Let me tell you that tazkiyah, when we speak of rehabilitating your nafs, you want to reform yourself. It's not a one-off amal. It's not something that you do once and then it's over. This is a process that can take up to years. And for this reason, every single one of us, no matter how great a wali of Allah you might be, you always remain in the confines of the tazkiyah. Right till the end of your life, you need that tazkiyah. And Hazrat Rahmatullah used to always mention this, that even the khulafa, the khalifas of the sheikhs, they must never ever think that they are independent of their sheikh. Right till the end of time, right till the end of their lives, they will always need the guidance of their sheikh. So, this tazkiyah is basically where a person will eradicate, eliminate evil qualities, and then he adorns himself with good qualities. The evil qualities are things like pride, jealousy, malice, hatred, love for dunya, lust, greed, desire for dunya. So you remove that, and then immediately as you remove these evil qualities, they will be replaced, let's say automatically, they will be replaced by good qualities. The moment you eliminate pride, you become the recipient of tawadu or humility. When you take the love for dunya out of your heart, you gain the fikr for the akhirat, love for akhirat, yearning for akhirat. You gain the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sabr is a wonderful quality. When you remove that greed from your life, automatically transplanted with the quality of sabr. So this is the process of tazkiyah, and we know that this process, I said earlier, it can only be achieved when you got the guiding hand, the guiding light of a sheikh, or someone that can lead you on this path. But what did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam do? Now this is a remarkable thing, and it was only something that could be done by our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What he did, there was one thing that he brought about to achieve this tazkiyah. Whilst they were living in Makkah, and you will notice if you read the ahadith and you read so many of the statements of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he emphasized on one thing, and that was to eliminate the love for dunya from the hearts of the Sahaba. He worked so much on this, he emphasized, he stressed this to no limit at all, to get out from the hearts the love for the dunya. He would trivialize the dunya. He would make the dunya small. He would make it small in the eyes of the Sahaba, so they must understand one thing, that our object in this dunya is the akhirat. The dunya is nothing. He would make it such that after speaking to them, the Sahaba, they really achieved. It was not something abstract. It was a reality in their lives that this dunya means absolutely nothing to us. He would say sometimes the famous Hadith Sharif that لو كانت الدنيا تعدل عند الله جناح بعوضة ما سقى كافر شربة منها أو كما قال, that if this dunya was equivalent to, in the eyes of Allah, if it had even the significance of the wing of a mosquito in Allah's eyes, then Allah would not give one drop of water even to a kafir. The fact that this dunya has got even less significance in the eyes of Allah, that mosquito, Allah Ta'ala has given it to the kuffar. So what Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam did was to remove from the hearts of the Sahaba the love for the dunya. And that is the greatest way, the quickest way, the surest way to achieve the tazkiyah of the nafs. Because what did he say? حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا رَأْسُ كُلِّ خَطِيئَةٍ. حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا, the love for the dunya is the root of all sin, the root of all evil. It's not, you find among the Western people, they will say, they also got a saying like this among the West. I was reading one the other day, a book of idioms. So they got this there that money is the root of all evils. I mean, money is the root of all evils. We don't say that. We don't say money. We say love for money is the root of all evils. Because with money, you can do so much in this dunya. Hazrat Sufyan Thawri rahimahullah, he used to say that in the former times, now Imam Sufyan Thawri lived in the time of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. Now you can imagine that was now the second century of the Hijrah. And he's speaking in that zamana, he says that before this mal, this wealth, it was something detested by people. أَمَّا الْيَوْمْ فَهُوَ تُرْسُ الْمُؤْمِنِ. He says today, this mal is like a shield for a believer. This wealth can be a shield for a believer, because sometimes, like the Hadith Sharif says, that كَادَ الْكُفْرُ كَادَ الْفَقْرُ أَن يَكُونَ كُفْرًا. Sometimes poverty can lead to kufr. The person, Allah Ta'ala save us, and Allah keep us, keep our iman intact. People have sold their iman. They have sold their iman just for the wealth of this dunya. Brothers, we're not even speaking of riches. They sold their iman just for a piece of bread. I'll mention, a few years ago, Hazrat Mawlana Ahmad Sadiq Sahab, Dama Barakatum, in Port Elizabeth, Mawlana Ahmad Sadiq, famous of the Majlis. He has all these maktabs running in some of the black countries. I think it was in Ghana. And he mentioned that they came across, one of his workers there came across a whole village who had converted, na'uzubillah, to Christianity. They left Islam and they embraced Christianity. So they spoke to these people, and the leader of the village says that, you know, we never left Islam because we were attracted by Christianity or we were impressed by their teachings. We know and we still believe. We believed it then and we still believe that Islam is a true religion. But we left it for this piece of bread. We were dying of starvation. We were dying of starvation. These people offered us money. They offered us food and clothing. So we moved over to their religion. We attend their churches. We left it just so that we could stay. We could ward off the starvation. Now you can imagine. Again, I say Allah Ta'ala save us from this level. Now you can see the true words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that kada al-faqru an yakuna kufran. This faqr, this poverty can lead to kufr. And this is also a great tribute to our deen. It's a tribute to Islam, and you can test it out anywhere. We don't want people to leave Islam, but if anyone has left Islam, if anyone became a murtad, I can guarantee you, he never became a murtad because he was disillusioned with Islam, with the deen. Yes, he may have been disillusioned with Muslims and saying that Muslims never gave me support. Like just a few, 2 weeks ago, there was a Muslim lady, in fact a family, a couple that left Islam in Port Elizabeth. And then when they were approached by some ulama, they were told that no, the reason why we left is that Muslims just didn't worry about us. They were giving out food and they were giving out hampers, but we were sort of sidelined and discarded. So we went over to the Christians. So Islam is such a wonderful deen. If a person leaves Islam, it doesn't mean that he has found something, some fault or defect in the deen. There's no defect in our deen. Yes, we as Muslims are not practicing our deen. We are not good enough examples or adverts for the deen of Islam. So anyhow, I was saying that what we say that the love of this dunya, the love of dunya, That is the root of all evils, not the dunya itself. Because this dunya, Sufyan Thawri says that this mal, wa tursul mu'min, it is the shield of a mu'min. And we know nowadays, even in the same majlis that I was reading now of Hazrat Maulana Masihuna Rahmatullah Alayhi, he mentioned there that he says that when you are spearheading a dini project, when you are spearheading a dini project, then you need two things. You need men, you need people to do the work. But he says, make no mistake, and you can't run away from the fact that you need money. You do need money to run and to operate your Islamic matters, your Islamic projects, your Islamic affairs, your masajid, your madaris. We can't run away from this fact. You need the money. Allah is the provider, yes, but we need to make some effort. The people that are in charge of a project, they need to make the effort to acquire that funds, provided it is done within the framework and within the limits of our Sharia. So, Hazrat himself acknowledged the fact that this maal today, it is a good means of supporting our deen. But what we are saying is that the love of this dunya, that is the root of all evil. What Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did was that he worked hard on the iman of the Sahaba, on the hearts of the Sahaba, and what he did mainly was to trivialize and to make the dunya insignificant in their eyes. He never took them out of the dunya. Like we say, he never took the Sahaba out of the dunya, but he took the dunya out of the Sahaba. He said that you can carry on in your dunya. Live your lives. Hazrat Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, Uthman Ghani, these Sahaba, they were rich Sahaba. Allah blessed them with wealth. So they continued their lives. They never had to leave their businesses. But all they did was that spiritually they detached themselves from the dunya. Now this obviously is not an easy task. It's a difficult task. People always ask, sometimes maybe you can't blame people. They compare today's times to the Sahaba, and sometimes they wonder that why is it that certain things that the awliya Allah are doing nowadays wasn't done, the Sahaba never did it, it wasn't practiced by the Sahaba. Like yesterday in the Jummah, I gave a talk and I mentioned there that sometimes when you commit a sin, when you do a sin, then you must punish yourself. There are different ways of making your own islah also. That is done with the guidance of the Sheikh. You're not living by the Sheikh. You are away from him. You can't always be with him. But he'll tell you that if you commit a certain sin, then you must punish yourself. Now how you punish yourself? Either say, I'll make 10 rakas nafil salah, or I'll give so much sadaqah, or maybe I'll skip a meal. I'll deprive myself of a meal. So after I gave the talk, after the Jummah salah, one brother, an Arab brother, he came to me and he says that, ahada fi shara? He asks, is this part of Sharia to punish yourself? So I quoted two incidents in the lives of the Sahaba. I said, look at this one Sahabi that he built a double-story house, a big house, and then he destroyed that house when he realized that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was hurt by that act of his. Now look at here. I says that idaatul mal, to destroy wealth, is not permissible in Sharia, but the Sahaba did it, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not scold him or reprimand him, so he did it to punish himself. But what I'm saying is that sometimes the Sahaba didn't need these things. They never needed these spiritual aids because their iman was so strong. The ikhlas was of such power that with a little bit of guidance from Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they could achieve a lot spiritually. And also the greatest thing which Hazrat mentioned also today is that the suhbat, the nazar, the gaze of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The moment the gaze of the Prophet fell on them, the moment they sat in his company, they suddenly, in leaps and bounds, they traversed that spiritual journey towards Allah Azza wa Jal. So, what Rasulullah alayhi salam did was that he removed that love of the dunya from the lives of the Sahaba. So they lived in this dunya, but their hearts were attached to the akhirat. They found it easy to do because they were, Allah Ta'ala made the Sahaba, he made their hearts like this. Today, we can also achieve it. And we have people, in fact, I would say there are people sitting here in this majlis today that have achieved this to a certain degree, that we live in this dunya, we use the dunya for whatever we want, but our hearts are not in this dunya. The famous example they give is of this the ship that sails over the water, as long as the water is underneath the ship and the ship is on top of the water, then everything is fine. The moment that water comes into the ship, then there are major problems. So as long as you can be in control of the dunya is underneath you on top, then it's fine, you can continue your journey towards Allah Azza wa Jal. But the moment you allow the dunya to overtake your heart and to come into your heart, then you will sink, and you will sink with the dunya, then you will be lost. So this is the effort we need to achieve. And brothers, there's only one way we can achieve this. We need help. We need a helping hand. We can't do this alone. This is one journey that you cannot traverse alone. In our worldly lives, there are so many things that we do. And you ask a person, any profession, then you find the person will never be prepared to undertake that profession single-handed. He'll go, he'll attend seminars and workshops, and he'll attend some meetings and look at literature and read things up. And he says, no, I need help from people. I'll consult this one and consult that one. And I will discuss with people. I will speak to the people in the know. And he makes a lot of mashura and he does a lot of homework. And then he undertakes whatever venture he wants to. Now, brothers, the spiritual venture is the greatest in our lives and the most crucial. Dunya, you undertake a business, you lose. You only lose in this dunya. In fact, you don't even lose. If you suffer loss in this dunya, I make dua, Allah, give all the business people barakah and blessing, and Allah, don't let them suffer losses. But even if you lose the dunya, you still gain in the eyes of Allah. Allah rewards you 10 times what you lost in this dunya. You make sabr, through that sabr, not only will Allah compensate you, Allah will elevate your daraja and your status in the akhirah. So you just cannot lose. But I was saying that the spiritual journey that we undertake, if we lose there, there's no compensation for that. There's no that we can recompense. There's no way that we can make amends. So it is a very crucial and a very important journey. And the only way we can do it is when we associate ourselves with someone who has been through that particular pathway, that particular method. And this is all about, this whole Tazkiyah program is about being here and learning from the elders, learning from the senior people. And remember, whatever we are doing here, it's not confined to this majlis or this gathering or this 48-hour program. We are just learning the ropes here. We are here to learn the ropes. Now when we go back, inshallah, we go back with one thought in mind, a lesson that we learn, a very great lesson. And the lesson we learned is that when we are in the company of pious people, when we are under the guidance of someone, it becomes so easy for us to identify with deen, to relate to the amal of deen, to make our salah, to make our dhikr, to make our fikr. You're sitting here, I am sure, we've been in the khanka through Allah's fadl, alhamdulillah. When you're in that khanka, you forget about your dunya, you forget about your wife, your children, you become so relaxed, and your mind can focus so much on the akhirat. And that is why a very important issue that Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Hamid brought up today is the need for the existence or the establishment of khankas today. We don't have this in our communities, but it is vital that we establish these types of khankas, and people should support it. How you support it? By going there and spending time in that khanka. What used to happen in the former times, this khanka is, I like the term Hazrat used, our Hazrat Rahmatullah used to always say that when you come to the khanka, then you come there for a spiritual purpose. But if you come there and you just waste your time, you just come and sleep and you eat, sleep and just idle your time away, that khanka is now khamukha. Khamukha means it's just for nothing. It's just a waste of time. And then at one stage in his life, Hazrat Rahmatullah used to call the khanka a mehman khana. That means a visitor's quarters, guest quarters now. Because he says these are visitors here, they're not really doing the work of Islah. So these were various phases. The awliya Allah, they go through these phases, and obviously there is some great lesson in the terminology they use also. But anyhow, this khanka was established, these places were established like rooms where people would stay. They would break away from the community, break away from the family, from society, and only engage in ibadat. That was the first level and the first step towards tazkiyatun nafs, only engage in the spiritual reformation of themselves. And that is what we need today. But remember, dear brothers, you can do it even in the confines of your home. Even in the confines of your home, when you got a sheikh, you will find that the sheikh will give you time to spend in solitude. Whether you go sit in the masjid, whether you do it at home, whether you spend some days in i'tikaf, a time where you break off your connections with your people, with your family, with the society, even if it's 1 hour, 1 day, 6 hours, but you spend that time exclusively for the fikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and every single one of us needs that. In Bukhari Sharif, at the start, the ulama will tell you that where it is described how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to receive wahi, then it is mentioned there that ثُمَّ حُبِّبَ إِلَيْهِ الْخَلَى. Solitude was made dear unto Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In other words, he started loving to go into solitude. Now you notice this. In fact, we're sitting here, let us do a test. While we're sitting here, all of us, a person who's got good iman, you don't need to be a buzruk, a wali of Allah. You don't need to make tahajjud often and make lots of zikr. If your iman is sound, you will observe one thing, that when you are in a society where sin is committed, or any environment, then you detest that whole environment. You might not be able to leave the environment, but you won't like living there. You won't feel comfortable. Likewise, if you go in any environment, you come from a good environment, you go somewhere and there is sin being committed around you, you are never ever relaxed and comfortable. So much so that even if you are with people, inshallah, if people develop that keen sense of ruhaniyat, even if you meet a person and that person is not a good person, your heart will just not be comfortable being in the company of such a person. So this is, it is like something built into your iman. It is like a sixth sense that is built into your ruhani, into your iman, that you're not comfortable in an evil environment. Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam lived in that environment where there was khamar and wine and zina, and there was idol worship. There was so much evil. So what he did, his heart could not take this. He started leaving the city and going into the cave of Hira. كان تعبد, he would go there to spend moments of ibadat, meditating on Allah Azza wa Jal. That was his khanqa. That was his time for spiritual reformation. That was his time for meditation and muraqabah and making fikr on Allah Azza wa Jal. And we know afterwards what happened. For 6 months, this continued, and then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received revelation. So it is important for all of us to understand this. We live our lives as normal. You go through your life. Even people that are doing work of deen, even people that are doing work of deen, there was one, I heard this from Dr. Sabir Saab rahmatullah alayhi. There was one Jamaat worker, very, very good speaker in Pakistan. As it can maybe refresh my memory, I just can't get his name, but a wonderful speaker and a very motivational person, and very, very active in Jamaat work. Allah Ta'ala grant him high stages. And he would take out time every year. He would spend 40 days in the khanqa. And he would come to the khanqa and tell his sheikh that, you know, I spoke too much now. I spoke and spoke till I can't speak anymore. Now I need to shut my mouth and start listening and making amal and reforming myself. Imagine such a great person doing such great dawah work. But he realized that there must come a time in my life where I break away from society and I spend those moments in solitude. So this is my appeal to myself and all of us. Alhamdulillah, it is so heartening and so encouraging that throughout South Africa nowadays, when Ramadan comes, we have these i'tikaf programs at least once a year. People have the opportunity to, this is like also a khanqa, people have the opportunity to break away from the society and spend those 10 days or 3 days, whatever the case is, sometimes the whole month of Ramadan, spend it in that i'tikaf. I will always encourage people that wherever you have this program, waste no time, attend it, even if it means for 1 day, even if it means for a few days. It was the sunnah of the Sahaba. They would ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, when must we come and spend a night with you in the masjid, Ya Rasulullah? Then we would sometimes tell them, come on the 25th night. One Sahabi says, you come on the 27th night. Then they would come Maghrib time and stay the whole night, make i'tikaf till Fajr. So this is a sunnah. So we should adhere to this inshaAllah. So in your locality, in your local masajid, if there is such a program, I will emphasize to people that make it a point to attend these i'tikaf programs. Even if you can't do it for the 10 days, 3 days, 2 days, a weekend, the Sunday, 24 hours, you will definitely see the benefits and the barakat of these programs, inshaAllah ta'ala. So, just to summarize what I've been saying, and to get all my mix-up thoughts in order, so that at least you go here with some direction, inshaAllah, that we come to a majlis, and we make our intention, Ya Allah, we are here, we don't come for any other purpose, not to hear how good the speaker is, not to hear some stories and things to make me laugh. I am here for one purpose, and that is to reform myself spiritually. The speaker will speak, you listen, absorb. How to listen? You don't try and remember what is being said. Just listen attentively and try to understand. Now when you go back home, or tonight you're lying down, you try and revise the lessons that you learned in that particular dars, in that particular ta'aleem. Once you've done that, now you look at how your life is being running and what the speaker said. You compare yourself, try and apply those teachings, those spiritual lessons to your spiritual life. And then the next phase will be to make amal on this, inshaAllah, and part of that amal to help you, like I call this a spiritual aid. An aid to assist you in continuing this journey towards Allah Azza wa Jal. Here you will need the guidance of a sheikh, the guidance of someone that can assist you under some alim, some learned person, some spiritual mentor. You sit in that person's company. So these are like 4 points that we must keep in mind. And inshaAllah, with this in mind, you will notice, you will definitely notice one thing that Allah really rewards a person with, that even in this dunya, you will feel, you will notice the change in your life. It won't come overnight. It takes time. I always say that if a person lived a life of sin for 10 years, for example, do you think a person can change in 10 hours or 10 days or even 10 months? But if the change comes after 10 years also, at least it's an effort that was worthwhile. If it comes before you die, no matter how long it took you, but if before you leave this dunya, if you can tell yourself, Ya Allah, I'm a changed person and I love to meet my Allah, then whether it took you 20 years or 30 years or the best part of your life in this dunya, it is still a worthwhile effort. It was still worth it. The effort and the struggle was worth it, because إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمُ. Your a'mal will be judged according to the last moments of your life in this dunya. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. Allah accept from all of us, inshaAllah. And we make dua that Allah gives us all, myself firstly, the ability to make amal. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم لك الحمد شكرا ولك المن فضلا. اللهم لك الحمد ولك الشكر. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم رب هذه الدعوة القائمة والصلاة النافعة، صل على محمد وارض عنا رضا لا تسخط بعدها أبدا، لا تسخط بعده أبدا. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك، وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات. ربنا أتمم لنا نورنا، ربنا أتمم لنا نورنا، ربنا أتمم لنا نورنا، واغفر لنا إنك على كل شيء قدير. اللهم افتح لنا بالخير، واختم لنا بالخير، بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير. اللهم اهدنا إلى صالح الأعمال والأخلاق، اللهم اهدنا لصالح الأعمال والأخلاق، فإنه لا يهدي إلى صالحها ولا يصرف سيئها إلا أنت. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها، زكها، فأنت خير من زكاها، أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم إنا نسألك خشيتك، اللهم إنا نسألك خشيتك في الغيب والشهادة. اللهم إنا نسألك خشيتك في الغيب والشهادة. اللهم اجعلنا نخشاك كأننا نراك أبدا. اللهم اجعلنا نخشاك كأننا نراك أبدا. اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معصيتك. اللهم نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يبلغنا حبك. اللهم اجعل حبك أحب الأشياء إلينا، واجعل خشيتك أخوف الأشياء عندنا. اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا، اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا وعافنا واهدنا وارزقنا واجبرنا وارفعنا ونعشنا. اللهم زدنا ولا تنقصنا، اللهم أكرمنا ولا تهنا، اللهم أعزنا ولا تذلنا، اللهم أعطنا ولا تحرمنا، اللهم آثرنا ولا تؤثر علينا، اللهم أرضنا وارض عنا، اللهم أرضنا وارض عنا، اللهم أرضنا وارض عنا، اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا وأنت خير الغافرين، اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا وأنت أرحم الراحمين، رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. اللهم نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله، وصلى الله تعالى على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وأهل بيته أجمعين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، الحمد لله رب العالمين، آمين برحمة.
Respected elders and friends, we say once again Jazakallah ta'ala to Hazrat Mufti Sahab for their pertinent advices, and hopefully inshallah we have realized that the importance of tazkiyah, that it is necessary for each one of us that we endeavor to make our tazkiyah. And as Hazrat Mufti Sahab has explained, that for this we have to find a spiritual guide, and we have to go to the khankas where we can take our spiritual treatment. And alhamdulillah, we have in our midst also our honorable illustrious Shaykh Hazmun Abdul Hamid Sahab down the Rakatum. Hazrat's Khanka is open throughout the year. So anybody also who wants to attend is welcome anytime, and inshallah we'll see the great benefit. So we shouldn't waste time with regard to this. We should make a fervent effort in the, with regard to this, and we'll see, as Hazrat Mufti Sahib has explained, the difference in a person's life in every aspect of our life, in our dini life, in our dunya life, etc. And our dunya will become our deen, so our whole life will be deen, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and understanding. Respected elders and friends, we still have another program, and then after that there will be supper served before the Maghrib Salah, inshallah. We call upon our honorable guest from Karachi, from Pakistan, who is the Khalifa of Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Mazhar Sahib, Damat Barakatum, Hafiz Habibullah, Damat Barakatum. We call him upon us, we call upon him to render us his honorable and great advisors, inshallah. In fact, Hafiz Habibullah was the Khalifa of our honorable illustrious Dada Shaykh also, Shaykh Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. And he took great benefit from our Dada Shaykh, and he was Hazrat's Khalifa, and now he took birth to Hazrat's son, Hazrat Shah Muhammad Mazhar Sahib Madda Zilul Ali, and he is Hazrat Muhammad Mazhar Sahib's Khalifa now also.
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين آمنوا أشد حبا لله، وقال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: اللهم إني أسألك حبك وحب من يحبك والعمل الذي يبلغني حبك. اللهم اجعل حبك أحب إلي من نفسي وأهلي ومن الماء البارد. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: ثلاث من كن فيه وجد بهن حلاوة الإيمان، فيهم من أحب عبدا لا يحبه إلا لله. الحديث، صدق الله وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Please keep one thing in your mind, and that my native language is Urdu. So please don't consider, don't look upon my English, how I am breaking, how I will break the legs of English. But keep considered in mind, and keep in mind the message of my elders, especially my Piro Murshid, my Sheikh, Hazrat Aqdas, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahab, Nawarallahu Marqadahu, and my present Sheikh, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Madar Sahab, Damat Barakatum Al-Aliya. My Sheikh, Hazrat Aqdas, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahab, Nawarallahu Marqadahu, says, the Islam is a mazhab of love from the beginning till end. Min al bidaya ila nihaya. Love starts, a person says, I love you so much, darling. And the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts when we say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Oh Allah, I love you so much. You are my beloved creator, and you are my beloved, the only in the whole world. La ilaha illahu, la ilaha illa anta. Nobody is beloved and like you. And how I will love you, the way I will love you is Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala sallam. The teachings, the pathway, the lessons Janab Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave us. And we, how much we do practice upon the sunnah, we'll get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the truth is that the Christmas time is coming. One girl went to the stationery shop, bookshop, and he asked the salesman, do you have a card, you and only you? He says, yeah, we have. Can you give me the dozen of cards? You and only you for the dozen fools? So, my husband says, this is the first step when we say, we recite Kalma Sharif, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. This is the beginning of our love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we love somebody, we want to talk to her. That is, my Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi says, this is Salah, that is Namaz. You come to Salah, you pray Salah, and you talk to your Creator, and Allah talks with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. I do worship, I do only your worship. And I'm asking for the assistance and the help, and give us tawfiq to do practice upon your commands with love. The third thing in the love is, say, I'm so happy to see you. I forgot to have food. I was hungry when I came to Salah.
I came to masjid for salah. Told my wife and told my mother, I am coming from the after praying salah. Please make prepare food for me. I will come back early. I am so much hungry, but I am going to pray salah. But when he comes to masjid, his older friend, he met his older friend, and he forgot to have food, and he forgot that I am hungry. So my Shaykh Rahmatullah Allah says, that is sawm, roza, that is sawm. A person in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he becomes hungry for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the Subh Sadiq till Salat, till sunset. Only in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is sawm. And that is also the action of love. Can you become hungry for your beloved? And that is the fact of love. A lover want to spend money for her girlfriend. If a person doesn't have money, he cannot get any girlfriend. That is the reality. If you are so smart, you are so handsome, but you can't have girlfriend because you don't have money. But a person whose eyes are bhanga, like he's black, his nose is in henna, but he has money. Every girl is going to marry with him because he has money. But if a person doesn't have money, he cannot get up any girlfriend. MashaAllah. Wow, for breaking the leg of English. Alhamdulillah. So that is the fact of the love. We want to spend money. We say give and take. If you want to take something, you have to give. And that is the deen. You spend zakah, you spend sadaqah, you spend fitrah. And you spend money in the construction of masjid, in madrasa, on ulama, on your sheikh, on your beloved elders, your mother, your father. That is all the, it is the fact of love. A person want to spend money. And my elder used to say that, a person who loves, when a mother asks his son, go and bring some food or bring some thing for the home, for myself. The shop is so close. But he takes too much time. Where are you? Why are you so late? I was going from that way. That is the long way. Long distance way. Why? Because her girlfriend lives there. Every time he used the way where his girlfriend lives. That is the, my Shaykh Rahmatullah says, that is love. Okay, when Haji, in this season, Hajis are going there for performing Hajj. And Muslims go for Umrah. That is the love. One couplet, one shayar says, Amurru ala diyari diyari layla. Amurru ala diyari diyari layla. Aqbilu dal jidari dal jidara. Wa ma hubbu diyara shagafna qalbi. Walakin hubbu man sakana diyara. Subhanallah. The Haji, who is doing tawaf, who is making tawaf for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the Kaabatullah is a construction, is a building. We love Kaaba because he has connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we do sajda and we do play salah in this direction because this is the command of our beloved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why we do direction, we have direction in Kaaba Sharif.
And Haji performing tawaf, he makes tawaf. And also, time comes when he leaves the Kaaba and go to the Mina. Then Arafah goes away from Kaaba Sharif. But it is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the king is now, my sheikh used to say that, when a king comes to the jungle, and he makes the capital and his office in the jungle, everybody will have to go to jungle to get the aid, to get the help. So, 9th of Arafah is the day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessing, His mercies, His bounties, Haji can get from the jungle of Arafah. Then he goes to Muzdalifah after to Mina. This is all the lonely actions a person does for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last thing is that lover says, I can't live without you. What will happen? His girlfriend asked, what will happen if I do marry with some other guy? No problem. I'll become the uncle of your children. So, but a lover says, I will die. I will not live without you. That is the fact and the action, the feelings of lover. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I can't live without you. I will sacrifice my life, I will sacrifice my money, I will sacrifice my wealth, I will sacrifice my feelings on you, for you. Wherever you want, my life, my body, my wealth, my feelings, everything I will sacrifice on you. My Hazrat Wala Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say that the Islam is the love, religion of love from the beginning till end. And how we can learn that Islam is the love? My Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say that sit in the company of the lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you have loved the lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will get the halawat of iman. Like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, ana salasun man kunna fihi wajada bihna halawat iman. There are three qualities. If a person gets, he will get the sweetness of iman, halawat of iman. One of them, وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ عَبْدًا لَا يُحِبُّهُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. Subhanallah. This is the quality. If the person love the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will get the sweetness of iman, the halawat al iman. Then he will get the, he will taste the sweetness of iman. He will taste the sweetness of every action of Islam. Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq, give us the love of their lover, and give us Allah ta'ala, give us the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and give us the taste of Iman, and the taste of Islam, and give us tawfiq to practice upon His every command with love. Allah ta'ala accept this broken message. وآخر دعوانا ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.
कौन टाइम है? जो ख्याल का सफर का वक्त है, यानी ये तो सुपरमैन बना जा रहा है. इसे जज़ाकअल्लाह तो honourable guest Hafiz Habibullah Sahib Daud Barakatum has given the message very aptly and beautifully, respected elders and friends. The object and purpose of the spiritual reformation in our Islam is that we get Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then as our Hazrat Mu'an Abdul Hamid Sahib Daun Barakatum has explained also last night, and inshallah Hazrat will be addressing us after Maghrib Salat again, very, very important advices, that then to leave sin won't be just easy, to leave sin will be enjoyable. And then to obey the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes totally enjoyable, as Hafiz Habibullah has explained, that this journey of Hajj, the ulama have explained, mashayikh have explained, that when we get this connection with the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this journey of Hajj is a journey of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what we should be aiming to forward, towards, and we should have the speaker and concern and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then make the relevant effort that as soon as possible, let us find the men of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they are in our midst. We all don't have to go far to look for them. Let us make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah ta'ala open our hearts. And we get this connection with the friends of Allah. And this is the way to do this, to practice on this great sunnah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, which Allah Rabbul Izzat mentions in the Qur'an Kareem, the sunnah of bi'at. Bayat means pledge your hands at the hands of the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and upon that hand is the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's rahmat will descend and it will become very, very easy for us to get connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Respected elders and friends, we will break now for supper inshallah, and as we have mentioned yesterday also, we cannot reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without the sunnah of Hazrat Nabi Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala islam. And this is the tazkiyah all about, that if we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the mere fact that when we see the food, we will realize who has given me this plate of food. I don't deserve it. We should take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and as mentioned, alhamdulillah, brothers have made great effort to put on the marquee in the tent all the notices with regard to the etiquettes of eating and the duas, etc. Let us look at these duas, and not just to look at it and not just to notice it, but let that notice appeal to our hearts. Let us read those duas and practice upon it, and try and eat according to the sunnah of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And very, very important also, the etiquette with regard to the dastarkhan. We should try and avoid ever tramping on the dastarkhan, sitting on the dastarkhan. That is where the food is kept. Let us keep all this in mind, inshallah. And in this way, we'll find that our Islam will take place, and this is how we'll get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And let us try and finish as soon as possible, and come early for the Maghrib Salah. Time for du'as before Maghrib, very, very important. And after Maghrib Salah and after Isha Salah, important bayans will be taking place. Let us all try and partake, inshallah. Allah ta'ala give us hope.